So I'll confess that when Steve ended the reading with, "This is the word of God," I almost thought to myself, "It is?" Because I need to say right off the bat that this is one of those difficult scriptures, and I'll be ignoring more of it than I'm saving. There's a lot of scriptures that we can pretend were written just for us, but this isn't one of those. This was written for first century Israelites with first century concerns. A common theme throughout the book of Matthew is the accusation that Jesus was trying to change the faith that they knew. But the reading just before today's texts, Jesus speaks about his role in upholding the faith. He says, "Don't suppose for a minute that I've come to demolish the scriptures, either God's law or the prophets. I'm not here to demolish, but to complete. Unless you do far better than the Pharisees in the matters of right living, you won't know the first thing about entering the kingdom." So these words aren't necessarily for us, not entirely. I know this because as a child whose parents divorced, I find that particular section has more harm in it than good. In terms of adultery, I could come back with lots of stuff except a line that I'm going to just lay it out there that someone told me once that I will not out. They told me, "Just because you're on a diet doesn't mean that you can't look at the menu." Like a fart in a room, it just hangs there. I didn't know what to say. Because as difficult as it is, I think Jesus is arguing against that very statement. In all the discussions about anger and lust and divorce, Jesus says that what goes on inside of us matters just the same as what we do. Our feelings are just as important as our actions. A few years ago, Pixar came out with a fantastic movie to help children understand their emotions. Inside Out featured the inner emotional workings of a young person as they navigated the challenge of growing up. As the characters interact, we see inside them their feelings of anger and joy and disgust and sadness and fear fight over for expression in the outside world. The problem with a kid's movie, though, is that it often goes overlooked by adults. Because let's face it, we just have as much difficulty as kids struggling with our emotions. And as we age, it doesn't get any better. We hold on to more. We remember more. We hurt more deeply. A playground fight is so easily forgotten in the moment, but when it's 3 a.m. and you're 67 and you're up for the third time, all those feelings come rushing back. Children, when they're surrounded by love and have all their needs met, have a better ability to live in the moment, to let go of grievances and live for the day. That's all that Jesus is advocating here. We may not break the major commandments, but how many of us have lost moments or sleep or days or relationships over the things that we can't let go of? How many of us have felt anger that has long outlasted a conversation that we've had? And I need to sort of stop here because I need to distinguish because of the challenge of this text. Jesus isn't saying that all emotions, all feelings are bad, that all anger is bad. There's been anger felt and expressed in the midst of the teacher strikes and the pipeline protests. And when that anger moves us and unites us in causes, then it becomes righteous anger. It's anger as a response to injustice. This is purposeful anger that leads us to change. We can see this anger in the Wet'suwet'en protests, where protesters yearn for that right relationship that they were promised and the reconciliation that they had hoped for. Righteous anger transcends our own personal needs and wants, for those protesting are worried that if they give in now, they sacrifice a legacy for their children and their children's children. Jesus felt that same sort of righteous anger in the temple when he saw how the money changers were taking advantage of people. He flipped tables. You can't do that calmly. If you've ever played a heated game of Monopoly or Risk, you can't just turn over the table and go, eh. You gotta mean it! So Jesus isn't saying that all anger or that all lust or all that stuff is in itself bad, but when it's narcissistic, when it's turned in on ourselves, like when the anger when expressed when you've lost a game, or anger that doesn't motivate you to change, or anger for the sake of being angry, because there's nobody that does that, then we need to find ways of dealing with our anger, with our emotions, before they deal with us. That's what Christ is getting at, that we need to learn to let go and live for the day. A senior monk and a junior monk were traveling together. At one point, they come to a river with a strong current. As the monks were preparing to cross the river, they notice a woman is trying to do the same. Now, the young woman asks if they could help her cross to the other side, and the two monks glance at one another. With that knowing glance, they made promises to keep their piety by not touching a woman. In the silence between them, they hear the rush of the water, and soon, without a word, the older monk picks up the woman and carries her across the river, placing her gently on the other side. The younger monk can't believe what happened. Soon he follows across the river, and after rejoining his companion, he was speechless, and an hour passed without a word between them. 2 more hours pass, then 3. Finally, the younger monk could contain himself no longer and blurts out, "As monks, we are not permitted to touch a woman. How could you carry that woman on your shoulders?" The older monk looks at him and replies, "Brother, I set her down on the other side of the river. Why are you still carrying her?" When we acknowledge our emotions, we begin the process of putting them down. You can't go through life on feeling. In the scriptures, it's called hardening your heart, not allowing moments to touch your heart or your soul. But you don't have to act on every emotion you feel either. There's this balance we need to strike between feeling our feelings and allowing them to take root. Anne Voskamp once wrote that the words your mind thinks becomes the house your heart lives in. The words your mind thinks becomes the house your heart lives in. How's your house? Does it feel like the walls are sturdy, or are they always tumbling down? Are the tables being flipped for good reason, or just whenever the ground gets unsettled? In the practice of feeling our feelings, we need to acknowledge when something has upset us, to not pretend it away or ignore it, but to find a strategy to feel the feelings and then let go. Some people find that in the midst of an overwhelming feeling, they clench and unclench their fists or their toes. Nobody can see your toes if you're clench and unclench. Some people feel it in their gut. Some people breathe in and out. One person said, "Breathe so deeply and slowly that you feel like your ribs are being pulled apart and then knitted back together." Sometimes in the midst of those feelings, those overwhelming feelings, it's better to just grab something. Maybe not a person, maybe not their necks, but a pew, a pole, a table, clench and unclench. You can walk and count your steps. We do it with kids even. We ask them to count to 10 before they react. Do something rhythmic, like tapping your hands, bouncing a ball, something that diverts your physical attention from the emotional state that you're feeling. Today we're going to do something a little bit different, like that, in our time of prayer later on in the service. We're going to practice a Christian way of letting go and letting God. We're going to practice cleaning our bowls, not just the outside, but the inside too. Emptying our hearts so that we can make room for that which gives us life, that which reminds us of love, that which brings us peace, the very presence of Christ. It's the art of Christian meditation that allows us to feel our feelings and then let go that which isn't helpful or holy and live for the day. But first, we're going to sing.